It's a great pleasure to have you here today and to be with you. And as I've asked you to turn to Acts the 11th chapter, I want to read one verse from that passage. It says this in verse 26 of the chapter. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And you'd have to read the context to get all of that. But the latter part of the verse is what I'm pointing to now. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You may have noticed, if you saw our ad in the paper, if you picked up one of the bulletins or some of the other materials that are around, if you've talked with various people here, or if you heard what's been commented on in our assembly this morning, you may have heard expressions like, we are desiring to be simply Christians, or expressions of that sort. And I'm going to reiterate that this morning because that is critical to where we're going and why we're here, what we're working toward. But we need to understand that being a Christian requires that we understand what that means. Being children of God requires that we understand what God would have His children to do and to be and to think and believe. And most certainly, that has a great deal of detail in its accomplishment, in its execution. But there is something in the verse that we read just a moment ago, particularly the last part of verse 26 of Acts 11, that helps us to kind of draw a bead on what it is to be a Christian. It says that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So you can recognize that a Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? Well, let's let Jesus tell us something of the meaning of what a disciple is. Over in John the 8th chapter, John 8, and we're going to read verses 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus has a great deal to say to some people here who were wanting to kill him. But introducing what he says about that, he starts off in verse 31 of John 8 by saying this. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says that true disciples of his, the King James Version I believe says, disciples indeed, ye are disciples indeed, if you continue or abide in my word. A critical aspect of our being disciples of Jesus Christ is to recognize that in order to be such, we must know His Word and continue in His Word. Thus, you will hear us say repeatedly that we are interested in just learning what God wants us to know from His Word, the Bible. And you will also hear various ones among us say from time to time, that we want to have your perspective. If you believe that we are misrepresenting something that is in God's Word, we want the chance to study that with you. We're not going to change unless convinced. But if we're honestly truth seekers, if any of us in this gathering today, if anyone on the face of God's earth is a truth seeker in the sense that makes one a disciple of Jesus Christ, then such a one will be willing to conform his or her faith, his or her practice, understanding, to whatever God has revealed. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. He said to him there that a workman that needeth not to be ashamed is one who handles aright or rightly divides the word of truth. That clearly indicates that one can handle God's word wrongly. So just simply having a Bible or even reading a Bible or talking about the Bible doesn't mean that it is being handled aright. Context must be considered. The meaning of words must be properly discerned. The agreement with all that God has revealed in His Word must be recognized. Truth by its nature is consistent. And so we are desirous of knowing what God's Word says, understanding it, grappling with its intent and its meaning, and then following in faith what God has said in His Word. Jesus said that that's what's required to be truly a disciple of His, a follower of His word, one who follows His truth. The word disciple in the English even suggests something of that idea. The word that comes from the Greek has the sense of a learner, a follower, an adherent to the teachings of the teacher. And in fact, in the biblical context, it even indicates the idea of being an imitator of the teacher. So we're to imitate Christ, follow Him, walk in His steps. How do we do that? Well, we must learn what His word says to us. Regarding that, let me ask you to turn with me briefly to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. There are several accounts, three to be exact, in the New Testament record of the same things that we're going to look at here for just a moment. It is the parable that is often referred to as the parable of the sower. Sometimes it is called the parable of the soils. But it is a parable that tells about a sower who went forth to sow, and he sowed seed. And some of it fell by the wayside, some of it fell on thorny or rocky ground, some of it fell on thorny ground, and some of it fell onto good ground. And that which fell onto good ground grew and brought forth fruit 100-fold, says the text here. Jesus said, as he taught these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's in the early part of Luke 8, beginning specifically at verse 4. But later in the passage, in the chapter, Jesus explained this parable. He says, beginning at verse 11, "Now the parable is this." Remember, the parable itself was a sower went forth to sow seed. Not someone who sowed with a needle, but someone who was sowing seed on the earth. And that it fell on different kinds of soil. But Jesus says in verse 11 of the chapter, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil, and he taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as have, as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience." A few quick observations about this parable. Jesus identifies what the parable means for us. And one of the things that he tells us is that the seed that is sown is the word of God. Other accounts say the word of the kingdom. Mark's account just simply says the word. It's the word of God, that which has been revealed from God on high, that which we now have recorded by holy apostles and prophets in the holy scriptures, adequate to furnish the man of God completely unto every good work, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us. The word of God is the seed that is sown on these various soils. And Jesus then teaches us that the soils represent the hearts of human beings, of men and women who, recognizing their need for a Savior or needing to recognize their need for a Savior, respond in one way or another to the word of God. My point is this. There wasn't but one kind of seed that was sown. That's all that is needed. The one seed, the word of God, is that which will bring forth fruit unto God, as He would have it to, if that word falls into good and honest hearts. Now that word does not proceed, does not originate with me or any other human being on the face of this earth. It comes from God through the Holy Scriptures. You are responsible. I bid you carefully test everything you ever hear me say or any other human being say by the word of God. Search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. And follow God. Follow Christ through the Holy Scriptures. That's what a disciple does. And a disciple in the true sense is that one who would be a Christian, a follower of Christ Jesus. There isn't but one seed sown, and that's all that's needed. The difference in the outcome is the hearts of human beings. But let me suggest to you that according to the principle that is expressed throughout God's word and that we know in life in general, that every seed brings forth after its own kind. That if God's word reaches a good and honest heart, it will always bring forth one and only one kind of fruit. It will not produce all of the confusion and division that comes about in the religious world. God's word, properly applied and understood, will produce people who just want to follow Jesus, just want to walk in His steps, just be His disciples, just children of God, members of the body that Christ died to purchase with His blood. That is, those who make up this body that Earl spoke of earlier in his comments at the beginning. The one seed will only properly received bring forth one kind of fruit, if we may speak of it that way. There are many passages that teach us that same kind of thing. When we find that Jesus sent forth His apostles with a commission, His message was, go and make disciples of all the nations, or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, in essence, the same kind of thing in Mark 16 when He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. He said the same kind of thing in Luke 24 when He said, repentance and remission of sin shall be preached unto all the nations. And then in the book of Acts, after Jesus had ascended to the Father and the Spirit was sent from God, the message that was preached was the same message. They went forth teaching all the nations, teaching people, whoever would listen. But they taught them the same message. They sowed the one seed, which is the Word of God. They taught people to respond, to be born anew of the water and the Spirit, to respond to the gospel just the way that Jesus had said they would. And that's the same message that we must echo today. And that's our job. To echo, to repeat, to point people to what God has said through holy apostles and prophets that is contained in the pages of His holy word. How shall we be disciples? Indeed. How shall we be simply Christians, simply followers of Christ Jesus? How shall we be the people of God, the members of His body, the body of Christ? We shall be so by abiding in His word, following in truth. Now let me bring our thoughts together and toward a conclusion with just a few brief questions. As we have appealed that we want to be simply Christians or just Christians, Christians alone, nothing more, nothing less, that is because that there is a great deal of that which is other than that in the religious world today. There are all kinds of expectations concerning brands of discipleship. Kinds of discipleship. The kind that the Lord calls us to is His kind. That which is through following His word. And let me ask you a few questions about that. What will believing and obeying God's word only, what will believing only God's word and obeying only God's word make of one? Won't it just make a Christian out of you? Isn't that all it'll make out of you? Isn't that exactly what it ought to make of you? Just a disciple of Christ Jesus. Just a follower of the Lord. Just a child of God. That's what God's word alone, properly believed and obeyed, will make of one. That's all we need then. Furthermore, let me ask this question. Can one be just a Christian, just a disciple of Jesus Christ? Can one be that and please God? Live as a servant of the Lord while one is here upon the earth and go to heaven when we die? Well, certainly we can. That's all the Lord ever asked us to be. Just His servants, just His followers. That's our aim and our intention. With that aim in view, let me ask this question. Is it okay to be less than a Christian? Less than a servant of Christ Jesus? Less than a follower of His word? One who is unwilling to come up to that kind of faithful response to the will of God? Certainly it is not. Salvation is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. So one cannot have hope in any other than in Him. And that according to His word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And thus we must surrender to Him and be the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, if it's not okay to be less than a Christian, does God expect me to be a Christian and something else spiritually? Does God expect me to be, quote, more than a Christian? Does He expect us to be some qualified kind or brand of disciple? Or should we just be Christians? The way to be Christians is to be disciples of Jesus Christ according to His word, abiding in His word. That's all that God has ever given us. The call to be through the gospel, and it's all that He has ever authorized us to be. That's all He'll ever make of you through His word. And that's what we're striving to be. And let me ask this final question and then a conclusion. Can we find fault in striving to be simply a Christian and nothing else? I don't see how we can. The Lord wants us to be His followers. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. How do we do that? Well, He said, you're my disciples if you abide in my word. Follow what I've taught you. He said Himself, John 17:17, as He prayed to the Father, thy word is truth. God's word is truth. That's how we serve Him. And Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As we've already mentioned, the word of God teaches those who would follow Him to come according to the call of the gospel, to believe on Jesus Christ, to repent of sins, call on the name of the Lord, and be buried with Christ in baptism, to be raised to walk in newness of life. And I ask you today, even as I am striving to do, will you simply be a child of God like those in the New Testament, like those that God's gospel calls you to be? We'd be glad to study these things with you. But if today you understand what the will of the Lord is, and you as a man or woman, guilty sinner, need the forgiveness of your sins, God calls upon you through the gospel to come to Him. And we bid you do so while together we stand and sing a chosen song.